Father Yah, we come to you just to glorify you and to exalt you. You are the Most High Yah. And we seek your guidance in our everyday life. And we just thank you for your presence on today. And we ask you to give us our understanding. Thank you that your kingdom has come. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter 13, we'll start at verse 41. Let me let my Bible pull up here. So I'm going to have to use my actual Bible that's sitting here beside me. Matthew chapter 13, we'll start at verse 44. Verse 44, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man had found, he hid it, and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. And he's given different examples to show what the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, I want to kind of review just a little bit. Can you give me my bottle of water that's in my office, but fill it up again. He gives, let me back up and say this. From what we have come to understand from the perspective of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of Yah, kingdom of God, of Yah. What is the mindset that we should have from a perspective of hold on just a minute. Perspective of the kingdom here. There are things that we should understand when we say the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Yah, and also the kingdom of heaven. Now from that standpoint. What is it that there are things that we should understand about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? Because when we're seeing it constantly saying it over and over. So what are some things that we should understand about it? I'll take the thoughts of God, but make it more clear, okay? When you said the thoughts of God in reference to what? Make it more clear. Just don't say the thoughts of God. I'll accept it to a certain extent, but give me more information on it. So what do you mean by the thoughts of God? Okay, that's what I most want you to understand, because the thoughts of God, but at the same time, it's from a perspective of Him revealing to us how our mindset should be. So I want to associate the thoughts of God with it connected to our minds. Okay. So from that perspective, he says again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man had found the treasure, okay, he hid it. Now, when you look at the word hide it, it gives us a mindset from it. So when you look at the word hold on just a minute. A computer moving around. Okay. So when you look at the word hide, it we'll deal with the meaning of that. So so I'll go back and I deal with the word hid. It also means, and I just want to look at the word hid and hide it. So when you look at the word hid, it means hide self or keep secret. Keep secret. So again, verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid or kept secret in a field, the which when a man has found. Now, when you look at the word found, what would the word found be from a perspective of us understanding the kingdom of heaven? So since this is comparing this to the kingdom of heaven, we want to take what it's literally saying, and then at the same time, we want to understand from Yah's mindset what we should understand. So from that perspective, the kingdom of heaven is as if the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, for which a man, when he had found. How do you find Yah's mind? Okay, what do you mean by seek? When you seek Yah, what is that? How do you seek Yah? Don't start looking at the ceiling. Remember what we dealt with now. Remember when we was in this passage and he made the statement. He said, "I speak to you in parables. I speak to the multitude in parables because they see in physical eyes, but they see not." So if this is the kingdom, or since this is the kingdom, how do you find something? How do you see something from the perspective of Yah? Do you seek it physically? How do you seek it? Huh? Mentally. So it's mind. So okay, since it's the mind, how can you see with your mind? How do you see with your mind? You got to answer this. You got to understand, because if you don't understand. How do you see with your mind? Okay, let me put it this way. You and I are at a beach, and the water is nice and clear. Okay, the water is nice and clear. Do you see that?
Not physically, but I can picture it.
Okay, so what is a picture? What does it mean to picture something? Huh? Imagine. Perception. Seeing? Physical? They don't perceive. Perception. So when you look at the kingdom of God, when you find it,
is from what point of view now? Okay? Has found he hideth. Now, when you look at the word he hideth, it's giving you an understanding. He conceals it. He keeps secret. And for the joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he has. Seek ye first. You said it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You put all things on the back burner when it comes to the kingdom. It is the first. It is primary. It is the primary. Seek first the kingdom of God. It shows you that the kingdom is so priceless that a person is willing to sell everything that they have in order to obtain it. What did the disciples say? We have forsaken all and followed you. The Savior turned around and said, okay, those that have forsaken all and followed me, he said, don't you know you'll be sitting on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel? Why do you think the scripture said, he that desires to save his life shall lose it? Save it from a physical, but will lose it from a perceptive point of view. Whatever we try to save physically, flesh, y'all say you're going to lose perception of it. He that's trying to save his life shall lose it. And he that's willing to lose his life for the kingdom shall gain it. So that means everything that I lose from a physical perspective still doesn't match the glory of the perception that I have in gaining a life of the kingdom. So you see, start seeing the kingdom. When you start seeing the kingdom, the kingdom is a perceptive point of view, but he has to use a parable in order for us to understand a revelation or a perception or to call us to perceive the kingdom now. Verse 44 again he said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, for which when a man has found, he found that physical treasure, he had it, and for the joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he had and buyeth that field. Kingdom of heaven is like that. Now you understand why other scriptures start coming together. The kingdom of heaven stuff is violent. But the violence taken by force. Those that can perceive the kingdom of heaven is willing to sell or to forsake everything that they have in order to attain it. That's violence. That's an aggressive perspective, to be willing to put everything on the back burner in order to obtain the kingdom of heaven. It's a mental disposition, but it's a mental disposition that now manifests Yah as God and our Savior as the Mashiach, and we're willing to do whatever is necessary to obtain that field from the kingdom of the heaven standpoint.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, 45 now. He says again, he started pounding us with these perceptions of the kingdom. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Verse 46, who when he had found, perception again, one pearl of great price, when he sold all that he had and bought it. It is a perceptive point of view to let us know how vitally important the kingdom of heaven is. Y'all, the most valuable thing that we have on the planet is a mind that understands, or the most valuable thing on the planet is a mind that understands the kingdom of the Most High. That mind is priceless. And we must be willing to pay any price in order to attain that mindset. Kingdom of heaven is as if a man who is a merchant and he's seeking goodly pearls and he finds one. He wouldn't sell everything he has, just get that pearl. Okay? Verse 47. Again, that's why I wanted to get to these. That's the way to get to these. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessel, but cast out the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and shall sever the wicked from among the dust. That's why we start dealing with the weed and tear. We let it grow together. We ain't got to worry about stuff breaking. Y'all gonna straighten it all out. That's why when you look at the reference of Matthew chapter 25, verse 32, it said, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided sheep from the herd. So it lets us know who the sheep are based upon these parables. The sheep are minds that perceive, walk in understanding, have perception as far as what the kingdom really is. So those who have perception is not just sitting around waiting on a trip to heaven. Because when you start dealing with all these parables, the individuals who is kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven minded, is someone who is wanting to operate in all these different things, and they're not sitting up there saying, "Ooh, I'm just waiting on the Lord to come get me, so all this stuff can be over with." No, those who have perception of the kingdom know that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We're trying to figure out how to gather the harvest. We're kingdom minded to the point where we're trying to gather the harvest. Well, it's vitally important for us to understand these parables, because it does reveal the kingdom to us in some wonderful way. Verse 50, it says, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Verse 51, Yahushua saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, yeah, Lord. Yeah, yo, we understand. Then he said unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Read it again. Verse 51. Yehoshua said unto them, have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, yeah, Jehovah. Then said he unto them, therefore what? Since you have understood, therefore every scribe, when you look at the word scribe, it deals with writer, secretary, someone who's a clerk, every scribe, every writer, instructed, which is instructed of the kingdom of heaven, is like unto a man that is a householder. Okay? What is a householder? Master of the house. Y'all said, when we understand the kingdom, we are just like somebody who is the master of the house. They do it again. Yehoshua saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? When we understand these things, Yah said, now you become the master of the house. Have ye understood all these things? They said unto him, yeah, Yehoshua, yeah, we understand. Then said he unto him, therefore what? Did you understand? Therefore, every scribe which is instructed, when you look at the word is instructed, that's where you get mad from. Okay? Therefore, every scribe which is instructed, disciple, that is taught. Every scribe, every writer that is now instructed, that is a disciple, unto the kingdom of heaven. Okay? is like unto a man that is the master of the householder. When you look at a master of a householder, just to deal with some definitions here, when you look at the master of a householder, it basically says again, master of the house, the goodness. You are the keeper. We are, now you understand why I said we are the carriers of the message of the message of the evil.
So I was just going to say, so up until this point, then really, since a long time, ain't nobody been ascribed, which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven.
Exactly. So when you look at these preachers, and you know we're in a just position to judge. Judge justly. That's how you do it. We judge righteous. So when you look at the things that's going on from the teaching of men who has not been truly discipled from the perspective of the kingdom, God's mind. Now you understand why when they deal with Matthew chapter 13 and they start talking about the sword, they start boosting people up to give money because they don't have perception of the kingdom. And because they don't have perception of the kingdom, they're only looking at these kingdom principles from a powerful point of view. They only see it for what it actually says. They have no perception of what y'all are saying. So when they see sowing, the first thing they think, money. Sow your seed so you can get your harvest. But that is a parable to give us a perception of the kingdom. They don't perceive. So since they don't perceive, when it gets down to that point, y'all say, I can't use you as the goodman of the house. But you're not a disciple. You can't stand here as a disciple. And when I said, do you understand? Like the disciples, yeah, we understand. We're able to say that. And God said, okay, since you understand now, you now have been put in position as the master of the household. You're responsible for distributing the goods of the house. That's what it's like. When we come into understanding, Yah is now saying to us, I need somebody to distribute my goods. And when you have perception of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of Yah, Yah said, I now have found me somebody to distribute my goods. That's what he said. And it takes us being discipled. Yah himself, through his son, by his spirit, is discipling us as a ministry to get us ready to, you know, I text a lady that has close ties to the church. I text her today and I said, you know, we got some important things to deal with on tomorrow. So just being prayed for, you know, for us. And it was like, okay, and the one thing I said, and the reason why is because the kingdom has come. See, only good ones of the household can make those declarations. Once we are disciples, we're able to now declare what the kingdom, we have the ability to declare all the kingdom principles that we look at in the scripture. How is it going to manifest? It is in us. Christ is in you. According to Colossians chapter 1. Kingdom has come. It's not coming. We're not looking for it to come. It has come. It has manifested in each one of you. How does it manifest? Through understanding. When we walk in understanding, the kingdom has come. That's why when you go look at other scriptures when the disciples were going out in two, and when they came back, the Savior asked them for a report. He said, give a report. Okay, we lay hands on the sick. We cast out devils. We were doing all these different things. After he said that, after they reported the works of the kingdom, he said, behold, proceed. Behold, I see Satan's kingdom falling like lightning from the heaven. Now you get carnal perception or I won't change that. You get carnality instead of perception. You get carnality and start saying, oh, that's when the devil was kicked out, when he went and invaded heaven and he was kicked out. And no. What the Savior was saying is, because the kingdom has come to earth to the point to where now my disciples are going out doing the works of the kingdom, every time they lay hands on the sick, behold, Satan's kingdom falling like lightning from heaven. Every time they raise the dead, behold, Satan's kingdom falling like lightning from heaven. It wasn't talking about Satan falling out of heaven. It was talking about his kingdom. Every time y'all kingdom manifest, Satan's kingdom has to fall. Because light and darkness cannot dwell in him. So you now being a luminousness, every time you now with understanding go forth, Satan's kingdom now starts to crumble. Every step you take, taking away of the step happens for Satan's kingdom. Every progressive state of step you take, then every degressive step Satan has to take. You are the luminousness, the light, and so because you are the light, every time you go forward with understanding, Satan's kingdom crumble. That's why it has gates of hell trying to keep us from prevailing. So let me give you a picture of what he's talking. Let me give you a parable of Satan's kingdom. There are bars set up around the perimeter of his kingdom. And he's peeping through the bars saying, I hope the Son of God don't come. I need to keep them out. Because I got stuff in here behind these gates that I don't want them to get through. If they come with perception, they're going to tear down these gates and in the end and take my good. What is good to him? Although he's trying to keep it dark. Well, that's what our Savior meant when he said, behold, after they gave him the report, he said, woo-wee, I see Satan's kingdom falling like lightning from the sky, from heaven. So the more we understand and walk in, the more Satan's kingdom has to prompt. Step on pins and needles, but he's seeing the Remnant Center is getting ready to open up for us to attack him on every front. He tried to keep us out. That was once his territory. That's why he fought us so hard. We was going in on his territory. It wasn't copper thieves breaking in on us. We were breaking in on his territory. He was sending copper thieves trying to stop it. The system had that built. But our name was on it. And when it was time for us to go get that out of there, they had balls around it. Keep them out. And when we came in and God started to give us revelation and understanding, we kept growing and all that, they were like, God thought that got turned loose. They just went in there and snatched the building out of my kingdom. That's the perception that he wants to have when it comes down to the kingdom. You have to realize that you are each one of you are the luminous mist. And everywhere you go, his kingdom should crumble. Satan's kingdom should crumble. Why? You are the master of the house. So since you're the master of the house, Yah is saying, I'm giving each one of you all of my goods. I'm not giving goods to people who don't understand. I'm giving my goods in these days to people who understand. People walk in understanding. The same way my disciples walk in understanding, I gave them the goods of the kingdom. They were masters of the house. That's why when you see them, Paul, folks getting healed from Paul's clothes and all this kind of stuff. Peter and all of the apostles going forth and you seeing all these different kind of miracles taking place, it was supposed to take place because they were the masters of the house. Verse 51 again, and that's just good enough to get ready to stop. I ain't got to go no further.
We don't have to do a whole hour. That was a 30-minute walk of sweetness there. We'll go down. We'll finish the verses, though. Now, and in verse 51, Yehoshua said unto them, have ye understood all these things? They said unto him, yeah, Jehovah. Then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe, writer, scribe, is instructed, okay, disciple them unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Things new and old. I just received a print. When we get finished, I want you to explain what that means from your text print. I hope we don't lose you before we finish, but I want you to explain what you just said to me. Okay, now verse 53 says, and it came to pass that when Yehoshua had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in the synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished. It's time for us to astonish you folks. And trust me, we've been astonishing you folks. There's some things that we've been talking about that have just been leaving people amazed. Man, how do y'all see this like that? Now, you understand it. That's what happens when we're the masters of the house. Astonished and said, with this man, this wisdom and mighty works. And they're going to be asked about you as you continue to understand the kingdom and walk in it. Verse 55, they're going to always try to connect us to our past. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brother James Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? When then has this man all these things? They're gonna be trying to compare you to your family lineage and all this thing. They're gonna be trying to figure out where all that wisdom come from. Man, that's love, man. I know love when you back up crazy, trying to derail the train and stuff with kids, man. Where all that wisdom coming from? We say the same thing about each one of you. Man, I know that. Man, I went to school with that crazy rascal. Man, I know that wisdom coming out of. We've received the kingdom. Look what it goes on, that verse 57. And they were offended in him. Oh, yeah, a lot of people are going to be offended in us. We're going to offend everything that don't want to change. Why he said that they seeing and not perceiving. And hearing, but not understanding, he said, "Let they be converted." Right, a lot of people, and that's the gauge. No, when people are offended, when you manifest as the goodman of the house, and you start to give understanding, you are to realize that they are offended because you are telling somebody something who don't have the heart to change. They don't want to change. So pick it out. You're accountable, or we are accountable for sharing the information with everybody, but it's vitally important for us to understand that when we share it, it offends people. The scripture has now manifested that we offend those who don't want to be converted. Be wise and keep it moving. Not everybody going to hear what we say. A remnant is not a large number in comparison to the rest. Okay. Verse 57, they were offended in him, but Yehoshua said unto them, a prophet is not, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Well, I experienced that when it come down where I was raised up at. That was just a manifestation of the scripture.
little old man went back to his hometown. Mama called this sweet name town, Honey Grove. Went back with the kingdom in his heart, my mind. I took the kingdom to my hometown. They were offended. That is a manifestation of the kingdom of God. My own hometown was offended in the prophet that God sent to manifest the kingdom. We ain't through yet, though. But they were offended because I by the leading of the Spirit of y'all, are we. When I say, well, yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about, we. Y'all understand my heart. So when we went down to manifest the kingdom there, people were offended because the scripture had to be fulfilled. What they were actually saying is, I don't want to change. I like the way it is. The sons of Japheth, the European, was saying, I like the way it is. I don't want you to come down here and change nothing. The Israelites was saying, I like the way it is. This is, we are all comfortable. You come down here and change this stuff, and you're making us see there's a problem in the school system. You're making us see there's a problem among races of people. You're making all this stuff happen and all this stuff be seen, and we were doing fine. We didn't need you to come down there. When I first had the town hall meeting, I had one parent to tell me, Israelite parent, she still supported to a certain extent. You know, she's the grandmother of some of the kids that were come, but she actually said this, now, Lon, we got to live down here. Don't be coming down here making trouble for us. I came with the kingdom in mind, and there was some who was offended and thought I was bringing trouble. That the scripture might be fulfilled, that from the same perspective of what our Savior experienced, now he experienced it, now we'll make us think that we're not going to experience. We're gonna offend more than we gather. Because those who are offended are the ones who do not want to change. They just don't want to change. So when you shine these wonderful things, here's what offended means. Verse 57 says, and they were offended. That means apostasy. It is apostasy, and we're preaching the kingdom. It is letting us know that they don't want the truth. Nobody wants that. Offended means apostasy. So anytime the scripture tells you in specific passages that people were offended, they were entrapped. They were apostasy. They were enticed to sin. They said, we don't want the truth. We don't want the kingdom. We like religion as usual. Don't come back. I had preachers who was offended in me. I had some preachers who would say that they would support me, support us, but after we left, they were standing on their pulpits preaching about us for months. When we were there. Months in and out of time. Because they was offended at us. Who you think he is coming down here and got all this property in this building and got folks excited and the kids coming up there and when they really put something on, a couple of, 100 people show up and everybody really grabbing a hold of it. People were offended. Apostasy, the falling away of the church. We experienced it. People were offended here in Dallas when we got the property. Not just Honey Grove. They were offended here in Dallas. So offended to the point where the Dallas Morning News decided to write about little old us every month. Every month we was in the news page. In the Dallas Morning News, every month. In the newspaper. They were offended. How the world, that organization get this multi-million-dollar piece of property that we've been trying to do. Went and sit down at one lady who had a school built from the ground up, right, not too far from right off the same road, brand new school built. When I went and sit down in her office and talked to her, she showed me a picture of our building. Said, this is our building. This is where we put the school. You hear me correct? I went and sit down and was talking to this lady, just meeting her. She said, here, let me show you something. She said, this is going to be where our new school is. And put the picture right in front of me and said, yes, this is the building that we're getting ready to buy. We got the deal on the table. We get ready to close the deal. Ma'am, I hate to tell you this, but I got keys right here. Oh, no, you know, that's our building. We already got the deal on it. The banks have already agreed. AT&T has already agreed. This is a done deal. Ching-a-ling-a-ling, I got the keys, ma'am. What are you talking about? It's a done deal, all right, ching-a-ling-a-ling. You didn't get them for me. It was finished. He got the nerve. He got the nerve to go away and get a building like this in the community of Pleasant Grove, one of the biggest buildings in Pleasant Grove. He got the nerve. Okay. Oh, but because we stayed in the discipleship of the kingdom and kept our mind connected to the kingdom, now those who are offended, at least some are saying, you know what, I can't beat them. Might as well join up. Oh, and trust me, AG gonna be joining up. They have no choice. See, one thing I have been sharing with you is the friend been giving me updates. Man, they down there getting that building ready for some things before we even come. Bring out some help down there, and they not all Israelites either. They're preparing it. But when we come back, they're getting it ready. So we were talking about going to do the re-get ready after, you know, we get our building here going. No, that thing's already been prepared. They're working on it now. These folks up there working on it. They're getting it prepared. A kingdom has come. So we getting it prepared up here, and they getting it prepared down there. And when we're all ready, while we're having the meetings and we're doing all these different things, when we're all ready, then guess what? Both buildings are prepared for what we've been called to do. The work is already in place, getting it prepared. Even so much so, Brittany, he's like, man, I ain't had to do a whole lot down there, man. I've been going up there, turning the key, and be like, wow, man, look what I've been down here. People are prepared. Verse 57, they were offended in him, but Jehoshua said unto him, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief, unfaithfulness. See, there was a time when not many things could take place because of the unbelief. But because we're in a different time frame, a different season, the kingdom is manifested, and you have people now who have to line up. They have to accept it, at least the remnant. Dallas is going to be remnant center number one, and down there is going to be remnant center number two. Both of them going to be called the remnant center. Not going to be no longer Project United Community Center. They're going to be called the remnant center. Because we're going to manifest our true mission. Okay? So that's where we are now.
Okay, so we're at the end of that chapter. I'm going to go ahead and stop right there since it's 3 minutes till time's in. Any questions or comments? I know I got the rolling and we got a whole lot of room to say nothing, but it just kind of came up on me today, and I more or less called instead of calling to talk back. So any questions or comments at this point? Elder, you got anything? I appreciate y'all just letting me flow. Just let me go ahead and flow. Since we don't have anything else, we'll go ahead and stop right here and look at it.
I thought you wanted Brent to explain.
Oh, yeah. Brent, go ahead to him. I hope he's still on. Go ahead and explain. You sent me a text. Go ahead and explain, if you don't mind, what's going on with your dad and what it means by what you sent me as far as the count is concerned.
Okay. Well, we found out back in April.
Give you a little time. You know, you're in a conversation. keep talking. It'll come in.
Okay, how about now?
Keep going. It's coming in.
All right, how about now?
No, keep going.
Okay, how about now?
Okay, you're getting better. Just go ahead and talk. We'll hear you.
Okay. We found out back in February that my dad had, February or March, we found out he had colon cancer. And so we wind up, I think my battery's dying. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to plug up my other one. Hold on.
Okay. It's going to bless y'all.
We'll be patient.
Okay, can y'all hear me now?
Oh, yeah, man.
Yes.
You sound like you're praying.
Okay, we found out, I guess it was February or March, that my dad had colon cancer. So he wound up having surgery to move part of his colon. And they found out the lymph nodes and all that were cancerous, so they wanted to put a port in him to do chemo. So I told my sister and my brother and all of them that we need to focus on his nutrition, you know, because if he's going to do chemo, he's going to do like he did mama. He's going to pull him down. So I asked my dad, you want me to tell him about that too?
Whatever you want to.
All right. Yeah, well, it don't matter. But I asked him, would he be interested in doing that medical marijuana or the cannabis store? And he said that he didn't want to do that. You know, that's one thing I tried to give him, let mama do. So,
marijuana is a herb. Yeah. Marijuana is a herb. That's the reason why the system makes it illegal, because they don't want you to be healed from some of the properties that's in that herb. Okay, go ahead.
When he first started, his cancer count was 160 and so what I did is that I bought him something told me to give him the oil. So I bought him some juice, organic green juice, and I started putting oil off in his juice. And at the time, he wasn't eating but maybe one time a day. You know, he was down to about 140. And after three treatments, and drinking all the juice, his cancer count went down to 60. He had gained 12 pounds, eating four times a day. And went back the other day, his cancer count was down to 16.
Wow. What was it initially, do you know?
It was 160.
160, now it's down to 16.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it works. That's the reason why they, you have to understand the reason why they, it's weird how you make alcohol legal. And it kills folks to a certain extent. And then you turn around and make something that isn't folks illegal.
Or eating cigarettes.
Yeah, that's even better. If you're smoking cigarettes, it's legal, and it causes cancer. Prove it. And marijuana killed it, and it'd be legal. Maybe the type of system we live in.
So what type of oil?
And it's also...
Marijuana,
oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
You said what, Brent?
The guy that's doing it, he's been documenting all the people he's been helping, and some of them have stage three and stage four cancer, and it's been went into remission. Diabetics that was taking six insulin shots a day are down to two.
And so, I mean, the documentation is that approved that it is the actual herb that Yah created to heal mankind from certain sickness and disease, and they know it.
So it was cannabis oil that he put in the juice.
Yes.
And some of the policemen down here, well, police won't touch you. Well, county cops, they won't touch you. Because some of their family members got cancer, and they've been helping. I mean, he's been helping.
So in a nutshell, in Texas, obviously, it's illegal, but he's saying that the officers won't mess with it because of what he's doing as far as the family is concerned. So also
along those same lines, hemp oil, just read it on that too. Hemp oil is in the same vein. I think the difference between the two, they're both in the same family, but I'm trying to remember the part that actually does the healing. I think along with the marijuana, it's the stuff that gets you high too. But in the hemp oil, it's kind of like the opposite. So they both have those different components in there. I think, but the hemp oil doesn't necessarily have the part that gets you high too. As well, so you may, it's hard to find that too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not saying it ain't out there, but it's like, you know, any kind of cure that you can really find, you don't have to jump through hoops to make it or find somebody to make it,
right?
In order to use it,
right? It's expensive.
It ain't that it's expensive. That's why you can. So because it grows naturally, they can't make $1,000 on a pill, and so they just won't produce it nowhere. So somebody got to do it in order for it to be out there, and it's hard to find somebody to do it.
And what he does is that he cook all the stuff down and make it like a butter where you can melt it, cook it off in food, like cook it, bake it in food, and stuff like that.
You make it like a butter. That's what he's saying. This guy has done it and made it to like a butter where you can cook with it, put it in your food, different things like that.
Then spread it on crackers or stuff like that.
And so the way he's doing it is not from a perspective of where people are smoking it. He's using it as an herb. Like you would take a herb, garlic or something on that oil. Yeah, parsley and things like that. He's using it as a herb. They're consuming it. So he's breaking it down into juices and consuming it as a food product. That's how you use it. And that's what's working with his dad is putting it in drinks that he's actually drinking it. Yeah, he's drinking it. And so that from that guy breaking it down into a food substance is causing all these different types of healings to manifest in people's bodies. That's why, you know, you have what you're saying, officers down there won't mess with it because it's working for their family. Yeah.
And he don't charge either.
He don't charge. He don't charge for giving them stuff. I mean, count gone from 160 to 16.
Yeah.
That's a lot. He picked up, 140? He picked up, 60 pounds, I think?
Yeah, he was 140, and he's up to 160.
What, who?
Well, he's up to 160 now.
160. So, 20 pounds.
Yeah.
So y'all,
eating four times a day.
Eating four times a day.
Yeah,
so
I said he's barely eating one.
Right, yeah, he's barely eating one time a day, now he's eating four. So,
tell you, y'all, it's out there to just think us operating in the wisdom of Yah, and all these things can manifest. Okay, anything else? We good? All right, thank you for that information, Brent, but we'll go ahead and get ready to close now. Probably I'll just bless your name for things that were, and we just ask you to continue leading, guide us in all truth, give us the wisdom that's necessary to function in a society that that does not have the kingdom as their best interest at heart. And we glorify you for giving us the wisdom to operate within the things within the guidelines of the kingdom to manifest your glory in all mankind. We glorify you for that. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. All right. Y'all remember, worship God in spirit and in truth. You are dismissed.